This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, and we're going to dig into a little bit more about how you create. I touched on it a bit. I didn't have a chance to kind of finish that thought. How you create this world of make-believe, because they're doing it with that Trump is Hitler press conference from today, how they're using it against people like Elon Musk and Trump, who'll do emails, a lot of voicemails and stuff this hour. So let's walk through this chronologically, shall we? Because today, what you saw was the back end of this.
So yesterday we learned that Donald Trump's former chief of staff, John Kelly, a retired four-star general, confirmed that while Donald Trump was president, he said he wanted generals like Adolf Hitler had. Donald Trump said that because he does not want a military.
Okay. How do we get there, though? And then, of course, that gets piped into the eyes and ears of your liberal Aunt Peggy, who will go out and firebomb a pregnancy center, all the while thinking she is the good guy. How does that happen? Well, first, you have to grab control of the levers of power. The communists understood this long ago. You have to start out, when you're a revolutionary like the American communist has been in the past, when you're the revolutionary, you start out on the streets. You don't have any tangible power. So your power has to come from disrupting things on the streets, protests, loud, make things uncomfortable. It starts with street level activism. And if you stay with it, if enough people join your cause, you stay at it long enough, you can kind of work your way up through the different levels of power. Eventually, they seized the education system, they seized the media, they seized Hollywood, and that gave them an incredible power, the power to manipulate what people see and hear and how they think. It's why in your school, it's why you learned about the evils of Adolf Hitler for 25 months and you spent 2 days on Mao if you're lucky. Why so disproportionate? That's because your school board, and probably your school administrators are a bunch of dirty commies and they didn't want communists to look bad to the children. Of course, they have no problem making Hitler look bad, which he was bad, but Mao deserves all the airtime Hitler got and doesn't get a fraction. Why? Well, you seize control of all that. And then once you seize control of all that, then you begin to get really influential in society. And then, amongst the other people you focus on, communists will hyper-focus on women. Mao did this. You think Mao's evil? We talk about Mao a lot. You know who actually probably was a worse human being? If you can imagine hellfires getting hotter for some people, there's a chance Mao's wife is burning hotter than Mao was. Oh, Chris, an evil demon of a human being if you ever look into her. They understood that you can weaponize a woman's natural inclination for empathy, motherhood. It's something that is an incredible thing for good. You know, that's what you love. My mom is a freaking saint. But it can be used if you manipulate them If you can seize control of those power centers, you can manipulate them and turn that empathy into the greatest force for evil in the world. And that brings me to this lady, Lauren Powell. Who's Lauren Powell? Well, she's a billionaire, and she bought The Atlantic. Big publication, The Atlantic. But why? She's just a magazine fan? Hey, Lauren, why'd you buy The Atlantic?
And we could have the narrative overtaken by someone who has a lot of power, who's completely contrary to us, and we could never get to the place where we think we're part of a more just and equal society. And so it was obvious that if we could be part of the creation of cultural narrative, that would enhance and amplify all the work that we're doing.
Which is Hillary Clinton talked about today, is telling the story, getting the content out there.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bought The Atlantic to do what now? To inform? To educate? To bring the facts to the people? No. To create the cultural narrative. Okay, so you have this billionaire, this evil witch woman who was consumed by communism. She purchased a major publication because she's interested in controlling the narrative. Here we are 2 weeks before the election. They're very, very concerned that Dom will lose the election. They're very concerned that Donald Trump will in any way impede the communist revolution that is nearing its final stages. And so the billionaire purchases The Atlantic, and then they go digging for malcontents. John Kelly, the former chief of staff of Donald Trump, has done nothing but badmouth Donald Trump since he left office. Now, after all these years of silence, John Kelly has this to say.
John Kelly insists he is not trying to tell people how to vote, but he is asking this country to consider character over policy, George.
And that all comes from someone who served former President Trump.
John Kelly sits down with The Atlantic and tells The Atlantic that Donald Trump used to praise Hitler's generals. So now you seized control of a publication. You went and found somebody who has credibility. 4-star general. Notice the first thing Dome says.
I think that's not landing with voters. Because in the numbers, it's the opposite.
No, wrong one. I pressed the wrong one.
I think part of what is...
Take that back. Press the wrong one twice. Here we go.
So yesterday we learned that Donald Trump's former chief of staff, John Kelly, a retired 4-star general...
Why'd she throw that in? Well, immediate credibility. Buy a publication. Find somebody whose resume grants them credibility, grants them a certain measure of respect with the American people, who's willing to lie. You own the publication. He's willing to lie. You both work together to concoct a story out of thin air that Donald Trump is some kind of a Nazi. I believe the Golan Heights in Israel are actually still named the Trump Heights to this day. Clearly not much of a Nazi. If he's a Nazi, he's a terrible one. But anyway, you concoct a story out of thin air. And then because, well, after all, it's a major publication like The Atlantic, and it's authenticated by a 4-star general, John Kelly. Well, you have all the legitimacy you need to call an emergency press conference as Vice President of the United States and stand up at the podium and announce to the people that Donald Trump is invoking Adolf Hitler.
It is deeply troubling and incredibly dangerous that Donald Trump would invoke Adolf Hitler, the man who is responsible for the deaths of 6 million Jews and hundreds of thousands of Americans. All of this is further evidence for the American people of who Donald Trump really is. This is a window into who Donald Trump really is, from the people who know him best, from the people who worked with him side by side in the Oval Office and in the Situation Room.
And now your liberal Aunt Peggy believes that she is a force for good. After all, this didn't just come from Kamala Harris. The Atlantic wouldn't just publish lies. John Kelly is a 4-star general. He's telling the truth. Do you see how the world of make-believe gets built for your liberal Aunt Peggy? Do you see why she will walk into your upcoming Thanksgiving party and she will, with the most confidence, announce things, declare things that simply aren't real. She'll say things happened that never happened. She'll say things were said that were never said. And you can present her with video evidence, but you don't understand she is in a world that is not real. She is, for all intents and purposes, insane. Your liberal Aunt Peggy isn't wrong. She's an insane person. As insane as the guy who believes he can fly, so he jumps off of a building. That's the world the communist creates for liberal Aunt Peggy on purpose. And that's how they do that. And in practice, it turns into communists, well, justifying their actions. Joe Biden stands up because his brain is scrambled eggs. He can't control it anymore in front of a crowd and says things like this.
I mean, so I know this sounds bizarre. It sounds like if I said this 5 years ago, you'd lock me up. We got to lock him up.
President of the United States, we have to lock him up. Why does your liberal Aunt Peggy think Donald Trump is Hitler? Well, let's go to Yuri Bezmenov, KGB, former KGB agent who explained how and why they do what they do.
Such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it.
Doesn't sound familiar, does it? And let's get ready for the next stage if they continue to hold on to power. Next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. We have Daniel Turner coming up about 10-15 minutes from now. I have some questions to ask him. I want to know who runs energy right. What country out there runs energy the right way? We don't. We've lost our mind. But who does it right? Talk to him about that. Remember, you can send us emails, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us voicemails, 877-377-4373. So I don't know that we've really, really digested, because we don't want to think about it. What's going to happen if the Dems do win the election? Well, I think maybe when we listen to what they say, it's revealed.
I mean, so I know this sounds bizarre. It sounds like if I said this 5 years ago, you'd lock me up. We got to lock him up.
Headline: Elon Musk's firms face massive lawfare from the Biden-Harris government. The White House has already declared war on a private business because the owner of the business has decided to publicly back Donald Trump. Now, maybe you understand why Jamie Dimon, he's the CEO of JP Morgan, he's backed Kamala Harris. Why do so many of these major business CEO types back Democrats now? Because they understand Democrats will come for you. They will. Listen to how they look at government. This is Dome talking about it. And credit to Mays for digging this one up.
Government has three essential functions: public safety, public health, and public education. And they should not be privatized. Why? Because it should never...
Government doesn't have any of those functions. Now, let's focus on that, though. This is how they justify using their power against you.
Government has three essential functions: public safety, public health, and public education. And they should not be privatized. Why? Because it's...
Public safety and public health are the two big ones. Every single communist who's ever locked up or shot his political opponent has done so under the justification that it was for the good of the nation. He had no choice. I have to. It's what I had to do to save democracy, of course. You can justify anything when it comes to saving democracy. All right, whatever. Let's get to some voicemails and things. I forgot to tell you that I burned some family members in Montana while I was in Montana. Well, Jewish producer Chris and I were having a talk. He was watching some videos because Chris is a child. He was watching videos of somebody microwave something in a high-powered microwave. Well, I think my parents maybe have the same one. I was in Montana last week for all that funeral stuff and whatnot, and we had a bunch of family come into town. And we had ordered, what, Chris, what? Chris, I don't use the word literally, but yes, I burned them. Okay, I burned family members, and I feel bad about it. I'm about to explain what happened. It's not my fault, all right? In my house, I have a normal microwave. So when I do American things, like reheat queso, I put it in a bowl, or if the wife's not around, I just put the styrofoam container in there. I don't know why she thinks you can't nuke things like that. What? You can do that, Chris. Anyway, I just put it in the microwave, and it's about a minute. And things will be nice and warm and gooey, and you grab your tortilla chips. Chris, you wouldn't understand, obviously.
Why are you?
Oh, wait a minute, I pressed it there. Anyway, you. So 1 minute—that's about what you get in my microwave. We ordered in one night. Everyone, when there's a death in the family, if you have a great community, everyone brings food and everyone comes into town. So you're, no matter how much food you have, you're still running out. You're eating more. We order in a bunch of food one night. And who do you think they relied upon to order that food? Well, who else would you rely upon but the menu whisperer? Of course, they said, Jesse, save us. That's not verbatim what they said, but it's very similar to what they said. And I said, I will handle ordering the food. Of course, it just jumped out at me because I'm a menu whisperer. They had a jalapeno popper dip on the menu. And I thought, yes, that has to happen. So the jalapeno, oh, Chris, it was so good. Corey, you can't even imagine. It might have had onions in it, Corey, so maybe not for you. But we got a jalapeno popper dip, and it was dynamite. But very similar to a mozzarella cheese stick, it really lost what it needed quickly. It needed to be the appropriate level of warmth. And everyone's sitting around the table and sharing stories and laughing and talking. And I, because I am such a magnanimous human being, said, I will reheat it. I take it. I put it in a little bowl. I throw it in my folks' nuker. I throw it in the microwave. Beep, beep, beep. 1 minute. I press start. I walk away. No problem, right? Well, it feels like it was just about 30 seconds later. Something burning. Something is smelling? What, Chris? What? It was not in a styrofoam container, Chris. I did put it in a paper bowl. We were trying not to make dishes because there was too many dishes. I run over to the microwave and there's maybe 10 seconds left. I open up the microwave and the steam is billowing out of the microwave, billowing out. And right about that time, everyone's saying, Jesse, is the dip done? Bring that back in here. I'm looking at this molten lava, and I don't want to admit failure on my part, so I actually look at my folks' freezer and think, do I have a minute to put it in there? And I go to the freezer, and I open up the freezer, and then they yell again, Jesse, the dip, hurry up! So I just brought the dip in without saying anything, and I just kind of set it down, and one of my aunts, she burned her mouth pretty bad. She did. I didn't feel the need to warn anybody because I was embarrassed. So sorry. Sorry about your mouth. Anyway, you need to give your dog some rough greens. That's important. Your dog doesn't get any nutrition from his food. Your dog's food is dead. It's brown because it's dead. That's sadly what dog food is. Start sprinkling rough greens on it. All natural nutritional supplement created by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black. Green Beret, I should note. He loves dogs. He has a heart for dogs. Tired of watching American dogs die too early because they don't get nutrition. Be like eating Taco Bell every meal. It's crazy. Call them. 833-33-MY-DOG. And they'll give you a free jumpstart trial bag. Or you can go online to roughgreens.com/Jesse. You want your dog to live longer? Have a shinier coat, better breath, better energy. It's right there waiting for you at Rough Greens. 833-33-MY-DOG. Daniel Turner joins us next.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Did I call it a Tuesday earlier in the show? I might have called it a Tuesday earlier in the show. I don't know. I'm stupid. It doesn't matter. Daniel Turner with Power of the Future is here, and he's going to teach me about energy, and hopefully you will learn something as well. Okay, Daniel, I have a question. You and I, as many times as we have talked, we've had dinner, I've had you on the air, I've never actually asked you this question before, but I am curious. What country in the world, to your knowledge, does the sharpest, smartest energy policy, and what does that look like? What does a smart energy policy mean? Because I know the insanity we have around here with the idiotic windmills and solar fields. Who does it right?
You know, I'd have to give United Arab Emirates first. Ooh. Dibs on that, and I don't necessarily want to. I wish we could put America first. But when you look at them, you remember they held the last UN summit on climate change, COP29 was in Dubai, and they said, yeah, sure, we'll hold your stupid conference. I mean, you book all of our hotels and eat at our restaurant, fill up our airport with your money. We'll take your money. They didn't change their oil and gas policy one iota. You know, you look at those countries and people wonder, why do they have the world's largest skyscraper? Why do they have the only indoor ski lodge, right? They build islands in the Persian Gulf that look like countries, right? The continents and palm trees, because they have so much money, they don't know what to do with it. And that's because they see this commodity. They say, let's ride this train as long as we can. Maybe we'll run out of oil one day, but we're not there yet. So let's exploit it as much as we can. And that's what America should be doing.
Okay. Now, I'm going to talk about refining, because you've educated us before about, even with all the oil we have, we send a lot of it offshore. We send it other places to refine it. Now, I'm all about working with other countries and opportunity cost and things like that. Why do we do that, though? Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't. And that's because we don't have enough refining capacity. So they send oil from Alaska to China to get refined, and then we buy it back from China as refined crude gas, as we would call it, or diesel, etc. Heck, the Exxon Valdez crisis that we all know about, that's exactly what that was. That was oil coming through the Alaska pipeline that was filled up at the tanker that was about ready to leave, that spilled all over the place. The reason why they send it to China is because we can't build a refinery on the West Coast at this point. And the refineries are in, you know, the Gulf of Mexico part of Texas, of Louisiana. But again, look at your geography, look at your map. If you have to go from Alaska to Louisiana, that's a long journey. And so wouldn't it be great to build a refinery in Washington or Oregon? But the Greens will never allow you to build a refinery there. And we secede. We give in. We're like, yep, you know what? The Greens don't want a refinery, so I guess we send it to China. I think, Jesse, as crazy as this may sound, it is only a matter of time until China starts putting something in the oil when they send it back. I mean, we look at our stink bugs. You look at our lantern flies. You look at COVID. China send diseases back to America. It's inevitable that eventually China is going to be like, let's put a little something something in the oil when we send it back to the Americans.
What if we, God forbid, and I don't foresee this because we are so dependent on each other, but what if, God forbid, we end up in some sort of a hot war with China? What's option two to refine the oil we would need to power our Navy and our Air Force and our country to even prosecute such a war? Is it, who can do it? Mexico? In an emergency situation, could we do it? Where do we go from there?
There aren't a lot of options. America is first when it comes to refining. China is second, and I believe Russia is third. Now, other countries would like to build refineries, but quite frankly, a lot of countries don't have the technology and they don't have the infrastructure to build a refinery. I mean, you got to figure, if you're building a refinery, you need, think of the enormous amount of infrastructure to bring that much oil in and get it out. Right. If anyone is ever lucky enough to go look at refining operations, especially in Louisiana on the Gulf, it's fascinating. If you're a little bit of a nerd, which any guy who watches, you know, engineering shows about ancient Roman bridges or any guy or girl would be fascinated by the engineering marvel of it. So a lot of countries just can't do it and they've thrown in the towel. And you say, well, that's not a huge problem to depend upon your neighbor if you like your neighbor. But, you know, even if we said our European friends are our neighbors, they're crazy at this point. So what if our European crazy greenies don't want to send us any more refined crude? England just closed its last coal mine. The whole Industrial Revolution was born on coal, and England's given up on coal now. So England's nuts. Canada, Justin Trudeau is nuts. Mexico's as corrupt as they get. So we're kind of running out of options. I hope and pray that President Trump makes refining an enormous part of his next administration, but steamrolls it, right? These are national security issues at this point. It's not just, oh, it would be great to have more oil. Like, we need to do this for our survival. And if you little green groups want to protest, we're just going to throw you all in chains and lock you up because we're in these refineries.
Amen. All right. Speaking with Daniel Turner, Power of the Future. Speaking of Europe, who does it right? Does anyone do it right there? Eastern Europe, Germany, because honestly, we need Europe to be a functional place, and they appear to be losing that rather rapidly.
Yeah, they really are. And it's tragic. The largest economy in Europe is Germany. Germany has had to freeze their prices at certain commodities. Because it's so expensive that it was bankrupting the country. So they froze it, meaning the government now just picks up the tab. It doesn't mean your electricity is not $7 per kilowatt hour. Yeah. It just means exactly. That's what it got up to. We remember those stories from about a year and a half ago where German families were getting $4,000, $5,000 electric bills. For perspective, we used to pay 11 cents per kilowatt hour as a national average. We've paid 11 cents for a long time. We now pay 17 cents per kilowatt hour, thanks to Bidenomics. Right, so our electricity has gone up a lot. From 17 cents, Germany was paying $7. That's how much their electricity has pooped the bed because of wind, because of their green ambition, because of little Greta Thunberg, right, marching down the street and demanding that Germany do XYZ. That's what happens. So they froze it at 40 cents, which is still more than double what we pay, and now the government is just picking up the difference. So if that's your largest economy, by the way, it's all in full contraction, the German economy. So if that's your largest economy for Europe, not to mention how many hundreds of thousands of North African and Middle Eastern Muslim men they've allowed in. Germany does not have a very bright future. Europe does not have a very bright future. Go see it while you can, right? But it's not going to be there for much longer. So there's not a lot of bright spots, which is why we are kind of at an America last moment. And that's why this election is so crucial.
Yeah, God.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I always tell this when I'm on your show, Jesse, like one day I'm going to have great stories to tell. And maybe starting in 2025, I will. Maybe you'll invite me back with great news and bright spots. I really hope so, man, because you're an optimist. I'm an optimist, right? We're honest enough to recognize evil and call it that, or communism and call it that. But I haven't given up hope. I don't think you have. But boy, oh boy, it would be nice to have some good stories for a while.
Yeah, maybe when we break away and become the Republic of Jesse, we will have those great stories. He is Daniel Turner. Daniel, what are you having for dinner tonight?
I'm making little, you know what they do in Europe? Little meat pies like you get in England that they kind of wrap in pastry crust. Exactly.
Yeah, those are disgusting. Why are you making those? I don't understand.
Because they're meat wrapped in pastry, and they're fantastic.
I don't support it. I don't support it. He is Daniel Turner. I do support him. Power the future. Thank you, my brother.
Thanks, Desi.
So let's have a little chat about the IFCJ, shall we? We are commanded to be the hands and feet. It's not enough to just hope. Honestly, many times it's not enough to just pray. We have to go out and be the hands and feet. I have respect, so much respect for the IFCJ because they risk their lives to do what they do. You know, I talk about them from here. I'm safe, relatively safe. The only thing I have to worry about is Chris. They are over there in Israel with rockets raining down, providing flak jackets and firefighting equipment, providing emergency food, building bomb shelters under the same fire the Israelis are living in. I respect that effort. I respect being the hands and feet. If you want to help them, call 888-488-IFCJ or go online to supportifcj.org. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Reminding you, you can email the show at jesse@jessekellyshow.com and you can leave us voicemails. We love your voicemails. 877-377-4373. Let's check in on some of those.
Hey, Jesse. With the media and the Harris campaign claiming that Donald Trump is a liar for saying she never worked at McDonald's, you'd think that'd be pretty easy to verify. Why aren't there former co-workers of hers coming out of the woodwork to vouch for her? Why can't her tax records verify this? It seems like it'd be a pretty easy thing to confirm. I wish the media would address this. It should be easy to figure out. I'm just curious.
Well, you have already figured out. I can tell by the tongue-in-cheek voicemail. You know, I know, everyone knows. Kamala Harris never worked at McDonald's. She's a rich kid. And that's fine. Again, when I say that, don't ever think I'm insulting anybody. I'm really not. We didn't grow up rich. My folks ended up rich by the time my dad closed his construction company. They were doing well, but we didn't grow up that way. They didn't even start that till I left the house. That's just not how we grew up. So I never grew up with jealousy. I don't care if you grew up and you're listening to me right now and folks are millionaires. Good for you. That's fine. It's not about the money you have. It's about the values you have. But Kamala Harris is a rich kid. She grew up in the ritzy neighborhood in Montreal and a ritzy neighborhood in California. She didn't work at McDonald's. That was completely made up. She made it up on the fly because she's doing the best she can to try to hold together a coalition she's losing. Did you listen to, hopefully you did, in the first hour, we interviewed Selena Zito. If you missed it, don't worry. The podcast is available for free at iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. It's about halfway through the first hour. If you want to hear what I'm talking about, whenever it's up, go download it. But Selena Zito was talking about the coalitions, the different coalitions of the two parties, and how those coalitions have changed. Well, forever, for most of my life, the Democrat coalition, it was working people. It really was. And don't sit and write me emails. They've never been for the working man. Stop. I understand what you're saying. But in general, if you were a blue-collar working person who didn't really understand what Democrats were about, you probably thought, that's more the party for me. If you were a richer person, you probably thought Republicans were more the party for me. And I know it's more complicated than that, but in general, that's how it worked. Well, Democrats left that behind. They stopped worrying about working class, and they started hyper-focusing on various subgroups of theirs. Let's focus on the gay community, except there aren't that many of those. Let's focus on the college graduate elites. And yeah, there are a lot of those, but not enough of those. Okay, well, let's at least bank on all the black vote, except black people were working class too, just like everyone else. Okay, well, at least we'll get all the Latinos, except they're working class too. Every group has working class people as part of it. They left working class people behind in favor of the tranny brigade, in favor of the Black Lives Matter despicable, you know, the black grievance groups. They left the working class people behind in favor of identity politics groups. They know this. They have all the numbers. They have more numbers than you or I will ever see, where they pull these groups and that group and that group. They know. Working class guy, whatever his color happens to be, working class guy, lunch pail guy, he thinks Democrats are freaks now, and he thinks they don't care about him. We had audio a couple days ago. I didn't play it for you. I just never got to it, but it was a union member. You don't have to dig it up, Chris, but it was a union member. It didn't look like you were actually doing anything anyway, so never mind, Chris. Sorry to put you out with our radio show, but we had audio of a union guy. And he was saying more than half of our membership, they're going to vote Republican, which has never happened before. Working class people understand now Democrats despise them. It's become the party of two extremes. If you are a billionaire, an elite, if you are in a penthouse in LA, you are probably voting Democrat. If you are ultra, ultra poor, maybe someone freshly brought here, you're voting Democrat. For the others, all the middle, they're losing that portion of the coalition. They know this. Oh, you can play it, Chris, if you have it. Do you have it? Play it. Go ahead.
RFK joining Trump effectively. I couldn't script it any better the way I would like it to be. I love the idea of Donald Trump being the commander in chief. I love the idea of how Donald Trump handles the nefarious characters in the world.
Govier believes more than half of UAW members at his Ford plant will vote Trump. He says Harris laughs too much, and he can't take her seriously.
So what is it? You're the incumbent who wouldn't do anything different, or are you the underdog that wants change?
More than half the UAW voting Republican? Okay, so they lost that coalition. They know they lost it. They had to try to get it back. But the problem when you spend too much time, we talked about this the other night, about why kings used to dress up in disguise and walk amongst the people. They did that so they could relate, so they could understand, and so they wouldn't despise their people. Democrats now don't ever touch the real world. They don't ever touch those people. They don't ever walk amongst them, live their lives. And so you can't just wake up one day and pretend to know them. People are not stupid. Even if people are uneducated on things, they're not stupid. They can sniff out a phony. If you're Kamala Harris, you have no relation to working people. You're losing the working person coalition. What do you do about that? Well, she's Kamala Harris. You just lie. You just make up some ridiculous lie, the way she lies about everything, and you just hope no one will check you on it. Oh, I worked at McDonald's. I worked the fries. That's not true. Everyone knew it wasn't true when she said it. McDonald's, which keeps records on everything, already came out and said, we don't have any record of that, because it was just a lie. The media isn't going to report it because the media wants her to win. It's not more complicated than that. Let's talk about real estate for a quick second. What do you do with your money? Can be hard to know, can't it? Do stocks, bonds, could I do? Well, hard assets are the thing that stand the test of time. You want some tax-free income? Maybe something to retire on? Something to pass down? A legacy to pass down to your children? You know, done-for-you real estate, they help normal people do that. Not billionaires, not the guy in the penthouse. Normal people. Teachers, people like that. They will get you started investing in real estate. They'll find you the best properties in the best markets. They handle the rental process for you, the closing process for you. Go to Done For You, Jesse, and begin with them. I trust them completely. If you use the promo code Jesse, they give you a free copy of a book, Micro Wins to Millions, which is really, really good. DoneForYouJesse.com. Go get started. There's never been a better time than right now, all right? All right, Brandon Darby is going to join us halfway through the next hour to talk about cartel stuff and more next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.